We thank you, Father, because you're worthy to be praised. We glorify your name, King of Kings. We glorify your name, Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father, because of your care. Thank you for your hand upon our lives. Thank you for the unity of the Trinity. Thank you for the indwelling presence of the Lord. Father, we bless your name for your righteousness. We thank you, King of Glory, because you reign forever. Father, we adore your name, lifting up our holy hands. Thank you for giving us power over every challenge. Thank you for making us victorious at all times. Father, we bless your name for the open heaven over our lives. We give you all the glory. We thank you that, Father, we can come into your presence at every time. And Father, we can place our requests before you. Thank you because we have your ears. Thank you because you can hear us. Father, we have not come to man, but we've come to the immortal, the invisible, the eternal God, the one that cannot be seen with the eyes of men, but is everywhere at the same time. We hallow your presence in this house. We thank you, King of Glory. We thank you because you are the Savior of the world. We bless your name because you are the Prince of Peace. You are our peace. The peace that the world cannot offer, you have given it to us. You are our joy, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. You are our confidence. You are our assurance. Lord, we bless your name because we do not lean on our own understanding, but we lean on the wisdom of the Most High God. You are highly exalted, everlasting Father. For every second of our lives, we count it a privilege and not a right. And Father, we are grateful for the gift of today. From the morning hours to this moment, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to work. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to serve you in different dimensions. Almighty Father, we hallow your name. We want to say thank you for the air that we breathe. Thank you for the water that we have drunk. Thank you for the air that we are using right now. Father, take all the glory. Father, take all the praise. Father, take all the honor. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for giving us power over depression. Thank you for giving us power over sickness. Thank you for giving us power over demons. Thank you for giving us power over limitation. We lift our holy hands in adoration to you. It's a blessing for us to be in the dwelling place of the Most High God. Blessed be your name forevermore. And all of God's people shout the loudest, Amen. We're going to take up our hymn, You Are My Savior, in praise and worship to the Lord. If you do have it with you, you are my Savior, you are my healer, you are my deliverer, you are my provider. I give you glory, honor, power, and majesty. That's why I shout hallelujah.
You are my Savior, you are my healer, you are my deliverer, you are my provider. I give you glory, honor, power, majesty, that's why I shout, hallelujah. You are my kingdom, you are my brother, you are my redeemer, you are my
glory, honor, power, majesty. That's why I shout, hallelujah.
can watch me enjoy.
I give you Lord the honor, power, majesty. That's why I shout hallelujah.
You are anointed to overflow me, and goodness and mercy forever. I give you
glory, honor, power, majesty.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
I give you
glory, honor, power, majesty.
That's why I shout hallelujah. Let somebody shout hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Please be seated. Welcome to church. I decree and declare over your life that the songs of praise will never cease in your mouth. Every day of your life, the Lord will make you productive. The Lord will make you to reach your goal. I decree and declare that every altar that is raised against you, that altar is silenced in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that the years ahead of you will be brighter years for you. I shared with us something on the pillars that makes us successful in life and in leadership. You apply the principles in life, the Bible says, and God will give you a shepherd after his heart that will feed you with knowledge. One of the greatest things that you need in life is nothing but knowledge. Knowledge is powerful. Knowledge is the key to stability. Knowledge is the key to progress. Knowledge is the key to success. When you have an understanding of some truths, it sets you apart. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth that you know will set you free. But what you don't know will continue to oppress you. What you don't know will continue to limit you. And I said with us that the first pillar is for you to clothe yourself in humility. Then the second pillar is for you to make sure that you make sure that your calling and election is mature. Understand the purpose for your work. And then number three, be constant in thanksgiving. Every day of your life, give thanks to God for every opportunity that God has given to you. Then number four, be constant at work. Constancy talks about faithfulness. In everything that you do, have you seen a man that is faithful in his work? He will stand before kings and not before mean men. Have you seen a man that is diligent in what is committed into his hands, that man will surely be great. And we have seen that it is required of the steward. We are all stewards. We are all workers in the hands of God. It is required of the steward to be faithful. And then we see number five, cultivate your field. Nobody is going to do it for you. Nobody is going to cultivate your own land for you. This life that you see is a field that is meant for every one of us, and the field is open. The ones who cultivate their land, they would enjoy the rain of heaven. The Bible says there was no rain, and waters did not come upon the earth until man began to cultivate the land. The Bible says, and the springs of the waters break forth. But when man did not cultivate the land, there was no water. There was no rain. When you begin to cultivate your land, then your land will begin to draw the rain and the blessings that you need in life. Today I'm sharing with us the pillar number 6. Pillar number 6. And that is uncommon commitment. Whatever we're talking about, it takes commitment. A change is brought about because ordinary people do extraordinary things. The Bible says to us that Elijah was a man of like passion, so that you don't think that some of these people are spirits. They are human beings like you. They have brain like you. They came out of an environment like you. Some of them never even had a father and a mother. Some of them never went to school, but yet they were able to change the story of their lives. Some of them came out of a very difficult situation. Some of them were rejected by their own family. They had no family support. But they were able to change the world around them. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things are people that change the world. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 61. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 61. And may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God. The people who designed and invented what we're using today, whether it is the computer, whether it is the laptop, whether it is the iPad, or it is the telephone that you have, it is ordinary men that committed themselves to do extraordinary things to change their world. And God Almighty demands, let your heart therefore be perfect, or be committed with the Lord our God. That word perfect is talking about commitment. To work in his statutes and to keep his commandment as of this day. What is therefore commitment? Commitment is defined as a willingness to give your time and give your energy to something that you believe in. Give your time, give your talent, give your energy to something that you believe in. A promise you believe in, or the promise you make, you commit your time, your talent, and your treasure to it. A firm decision that you make to do something. Something amazing, something unusual. That is commitment. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What is that talking about? It's talking about a man that is committed to a cause. A man that is committed to his work. I am not ashamed of what I'm doing. I am committed to it. I don't know about any other person, but I know about myself, and I am persuaded that the promise I have taken to serve him, that I know and I know and I know beyond knowing, no matter the situation, that he's well able to keep that which I commit into his hands. Commitment is absolute. Believe in something. You put in your time. You put in your energy. Without commitment, you will easily give in. That's why you're seeing people committing suicide. People killing themselves or killing their spouses or killing their husbands or killing their wives or their children. Because they are not committed to that marital vow. People break their relationship. Oh, because I didn't have a child with my wife, then that will make me to begin to think about divorce. But if I am committed to that relationship, I am not going to divorce my wife because she did not conceive a child for me. There are several ways I can have children. Commitment to the promise. What keeps successful people going in life in the midst of the challenges? I tell you the truth. Every great person you see that is great has gone through several challenges in life. And severally they have fallen along the way, but they refuse to stay there. Trials will come to push them down. They will rise up and shake the doors and keep moving.
What is keeping them to their course? What is keeping them along the journey of their life? It's commitment to their cause. Some of them, they didn't know anything about business. They didn't know anything about what they're doing today, but they were committed to know, and they have known it, and today they are gurus and masters. So you have no excuse to say, you know, I don't know. I don't know how it is done. Don't look for the easy way. Nothing comes easy. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Do you know that even to get a wife is not easy? To get a woman is easy, but to get a wife is not easy. To get a man with trousers and shirt is easy, but it's not easy to get a husband. Look at what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. To this end, I strenuously. Please underline the word strenuous. Those of you who studied English, you know what it means to be to strain. Another translation, the King James Version says, striving. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully wants in me. Another translation said, I also labor, striving according to his working. It is not easy to keep your faith. It is not easy to remain a child of God. It is not easy for you to constantly read your Bible. It takes commitment. God places his power upon your life, but it takes you to work it out. That's why you are having a lazy generation that call their messages what you call the hyper grace preachers. They preach the crown without the cross. Tell you about getting the crown, but they don't tell you about the pain of carrying the cross. So what is commitment? Commitment is an act. Commitment is an action. It's not just words. You have a lot of people that can tell you so much. Well, if you're listening to some people blow grammar, tell you what they can do and what they can do, what they can offer and all of that, wow, you will think, my God, my problem is over. I've gotten the best candidate. I've gotten the best person in this job. But you realize that the words and action, they are two different things. It's just like so many students that went to school and they had all the theories, but they never had the practical. That's one of the things you're saying, that Nigeria is where it is today. You see people come out of university and they say, you know what, I studied mechanical engineering and they can mechanize nothing. Somebody says, I studied electrical electronics and he cannot solve a simple electronics. He cannot handle it. Somebody said, I am an agronomist. Agronomist in language, but give him just a little farm, he cannot do it. Just theories. But that is not what our institutions are meant to be. I know of a state in America called California. California does not have oil. California does not have mineral resources under its soil. One of the things that California has is just the University of California. Out of that university, today you have the Microsoft. You have all the things that are ruling the world from the ideas of students. Commitment is an act that brings you closer to your dream. Commitment is an action that gets you closer to your dream. You will always have two choices in the journey of life. Two choices. Your commitment versus your fear. Your commitment versus your fear. Your fear will tell you that's a problem. You can't solve it. But commitment will tell you that's an opportunity to rise. That's an opportunity to learn. Fear will tell you others have tried it and they failed. Commitment will tell you if others tried it and failed, I will try it and succeed. That's why you hear Paul said, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Others like Demas, they saw challenges and they ran away. Others like Alexandra. But for me, I have fought a good fight. You know, your fear is your greatest enemy. Your fear will keep you at one spot. Your fear will tell you better save what you just have and sit on it. But commitment will tell you invest your time, invest your energy to move forward. Fear keeps you in one spot. Commitment moves you to greater height. Commitment makes you to start the journey so that you can move forward. That's why you realize that people that are committed to the cause, they take risks. Faith is risks. Believing God on something you don't know. God said, rise up and move forward. To where? No answer, but you're taking your steps. God said, take your car. You just bought a brand new car. And the Lord just whispered to your heart and said, take this car, go and sell it and drop the money on the altar. You didn't see God. But you had a voice in your heart and you believe it's God. And you take the risk to go and sell. That's faith. But fear tells you, if I sell this car, how will I get it again? Fear tells you, if I give this tithe, how will I survive the next month? Fear is a snare. Fear keeps you from growing. That's why you see the child that has fear in him. You discover that when he's supposed to be walking, he'll be afraid not to work because of fear. Most people fail in life, not because of a lack of desire. When you find out from everybody has a desire to be great. Just look at a little child walking beside his mother. The child will say to the mother, Mama, when I grow old, I'm going to buy you a better house than this. That's a great desire. Mama, when I grow old, I'm going to buy you a car. That's a great desire. Oh, I'm going to be a medical doctor. That's a great desire. I'm going to be an engineer. That's a great desire. The mother is excited everywhere she goes. What does the child want to do? He wants to become an engineer. What does your daughter want to become? She wants to become a medical doctor. Oh, one day I'm going to be the president of Nigeria. That's a great desire. But friends, a lot of people fail, not because they have no desire, but because of a lack of commitment to their desire. Somebody wants to become a president. Somebody wants to become a successful man, but yet is not committed in his work. Committed in developing himself or herself. It's great to be able to have a desire to have a husband and a wife, but it takes commitment for you to be able to build a good home. It takes commitment for you to be able to keep yourself healthy. You see a lot of women trying to go and reduce their body size because they are not too sure of themselves. And then they go to the place where they commit themselves into so much. They want to have a good body, but they are not committed to go and do exercise. It's a great desire for you to shed down. But it takes a lot of pain for you to do exercise and strain the body. Matthew chapter 13 verse 18 to 23. Matthew chapter 13 verse 18 to 23. You see, Jesus gave a parable. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Go on. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. Now you see they have a desire, but they are not committed to understanding the word. They are not committed in getting themselves to walk on what they hear. So Jesus said, when anyone heareth the word, because in the first stage they have a desire to hear the word of the kingdom. But then they have no understanding. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in their heart. That's why as I'm speaking to every one of us here, you'll be so surprised to see that there are some people there that are looking at their phone and chatting with somebody else. Right now, they left home. They came here and they are sitting down here, but instead of concentrating and be thinking, what next will I do? They are doing a different stuff. So the enemy came. The enemy will always come around. And he catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is which received the word by the wayside. And then go further, verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word. So they have a desire to know God. They have a desire to be in fellowship. That's why they could spend their time to come into the presence of God to hear the teaching of the word. But he that receiveth the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth. So it's not the problem of hearing. You can hear about success. You can hear about money. You can hear about businesses. But you can still remain a failure. It's the choice that people make because they are not committed to applying what they hear. But he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Verse 21. Yet had he no root in himself. What does it take to get yourself well rooted? It is by daily doing what the word of God says. You're applying it. You apply the instructions you receive. You apply the directions that you receive. You keep exercising yourself. That's how you stretch your roots. But he had no root in himself. So endure it for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, and by and by he is offended because he's not committed. People that are committed to a work, they don't get offended. They are grateful. They celebrate every moment you are chiseling them. They are happy because they know you're pruning them to get better. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. You see them? Three class of people. And the care of this world, they are not persuaded in what they believe in. They can't stay through. They are not firm in their conviction. So the cares of this world come around, and the deceitfulness of riches, and choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Not committed to the part of kingdom principle. But now look at it, verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. That's one. And understanded it. Understanding is an application of what you hear. He applies the word. So look at what happened. He hears the word like every other person. So let me say something to all of you here and those of you that are watching around the world. Let me just say this to you. I'm not cursing anyone, but it will be so surprising to you that only 1% of the people that are here will end up doing the things that they hear. 1%. Here you find three categories of people. They all heard the same thing, but none of their lives reflected what they heard. Only 1%. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth. He has tilled his ground. He has worked on himself and bringeth forth fruits. Some 100-fold, some 30, some 60. Verse 24. And Jesus went further to give another parable, and he put them saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. Everything about life you see is the type of seed that is planted in you and what you do with the seed that is planted. So what is it? You realize that from this parable, Jesus said to us, what has made a lot of people not to succeed in the midst of the storm is not that trials do not come. This person is living in the same environment like the other three. But he chose to create a different atmosphere, a different environment for the seed of God's word to flourish. You can make your life a thorny place. You can make your life a thorny place. You can make your life a rocky place. You can make your heart, your life a very hardened ground. And somebody else will break his own ground and make it soft for the word of God to break forward. Nothing just happened by accident. I've never seen, apart from the birth of Jesus Christ, even the birth of Jesus Christ didn't happen by accident. There was a pre-plan. The Spirit of the Lord came over her. And the Bible says she conceived a child of the Holy Ghost. Nothing ever happens by accident. So the same thing with productivity and progress in life. For you to be productive in this life and for you to be progressive in this life, it doesn't come by accident. It is always the result of commitment to excellence. You are committed to a cause. You do whatever you do with excellence. You're a singer. Think about what you do. While it is 2 minutes you're given. Don't just come on the stage here and just be wasting time and say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just wave our hands and you don't know what to sing. You prepare yourself with excellence. You come around here to lead prayer. Do it with excellence. The Bible says that the preacher should prepare himself in season and out of season. You are a servant, you are a manager, you are a driver, you are a security personnel. Go for excellence. What is it that distinguished Daniel from other men? The Bible says he had in him the spirit of excellence. Intelligent planning and a focused effort. He's a man of intelligence. He's a man that is of planning. Jesus Christ told us himself. Would a man build a house and not sit down and plan intelligently? Dummies don't go to anywhere. It is intelligent people who make themselves that succeed in life. That does not mean they were not dummies. Some of them didn't know anything. But they put their mind to learning and improving on themselves. You are just the same person. What you have always been, you don't improve on yourself, you don't improve on your speech, you don't improve on your outlook, you don't improve on the way you do things, and you want to see God's blessing? Can I tell us the truth, the reason why fraudsters, you call them, people that are using all kinds of schemes to defraud Nigerians, because you have too many lazy people. They want the cheap way, not the hard way. God spoke to me about a product that took me over 8 months to study that product. It was painful studying it. I had to study the chemical composition. I had to study the mechanical setup of the system. I had to study the global acceptance. I had to look at the law back in that system. It takes work and intelligence. When God gives you an opportunity to come around something, it's for you to be able to put in your efforts and stay focused in learning. That's what the Bible said to us even about choosing a wife. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 22. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 22. Don't just go for any man that comes around because he wears shirt and trousers. Don't just go for every woman that you see her praising God in church. There is a woman that has worked on herself to become a noble, a virtuous woman. There is a man that has worked on himself to be a man, to be a husband. He's a great planner. You see, what women are looking for is not just sex. It's not just a man who is coming along with emotional words of, I love you." What women are looking for is a husband, is a father. A father figure, somebody that can guide them, somebody that can protect them, somebody that can promote God's divine cause. The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from God. It takes commitment to find a good wife. The word find there takes work. And then when you are committed to looking for the right thing, then you will obtain favor from God. Commitment means staying loyal to what you said you were going to do. Even long after the mood is gone. When you said it with excitement. Hallelujah. I will follow you to the end. Hallelujah. I will serve the Lord with you. Hallelujah. I'm going to do everything in that work to make sure that this company, to make sure that this house excel and succeed. Great. But there is a time the mood is going to change. The mood is going to change completely. And you will discover at such moment, there is always the tendency and the temptation for you to pull back and say, I cannot do it. But commitment makes you to stay loyal. That's where you realize that when the going was great, the disciples of Jesus, they were the main thing in town, following Jesus everywhere. Yeah, we are his disciples. Oh yeah, the Messiah. Everybody is just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And they were taking the shot. But a season and a time came in their lives that one after the other, they had to lay down their lives down for that vision. Some of them were thrown inside frying oil. Some of them were hacked. People like Peter, they were torn upside down because he requested for it and said, I am not worthy to die in the same way my master died. Those of you that don't know, some of the apostles, they hung their two legs on a pole and carry saw and cut them into two. But they were all given opportunity to denounce and say they are not going to follow. They are not going to continue with that way. But they said to themselves, we will better honor God than to honor man. We will die for this cause. That's commitment. And the history of this man remains forever and ever and ever. Jesus Christ testified himself. He said, even when the new heaven and the new earth will come, the name and the gates of certain cities in that new earth shall be named after the apostles. Commitment is you staying through. There is the story of a young lady as I begin to round up. In Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16 to 17. Ruth chapter 1 verse 16 to 17. The Bible testified to us that Ruth made a commitment. She made a commitment to stick to her madam, her mother-in-law. When the chiefs were down, she didn't deny her. She said, and Ruth entreated to her and said, please don't allow me. I won't go. I will not go away from you, but let me follow you. Where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. And where you lay your head, I will lay my head. Your people shall be my people. And my God, or your God, shall be my God. One thing I see that is killing a lot of black people is disloyalty. You see, white men are committed to their cause, to one another. The Jewish are committed to one another. The Chinese, you see them come here, they are committed to one another. But the blacks, they always betray one another. That's why you realize that strangers and strange people always take over from them. Several years ago, when I went to China, the first time, before I revisited that country to buy and produce the product that we're using in this great house, and the things that I was going to keep for the businesses were going to run later. I got in there, I befriended some of the great Chinese people. And I saw these people, you know, they are this in heights. Most of them are very, very, very tall. And I get close to them, they walk like ant. You want to keep them and engage them in a conversation and begin to talk with them. You're talking with them 5 minutes. They are doing like this. And they say, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. So conscious of their work. So at this particular moment, I befriended one of the directors that I was able to minister to since I came to do business. And it's in thousands of dollars and millions. So I finally got his attention. And I thought that he was going to be on my side when we were going to bargain for certain product in other company. But I realized that their commitment to each other, no foreigner can interfere. So finally, the man told me how much his product is. And then we went to another one. The other person's product is cheaper than this other person. But you know what? When I said, okay, I was going to cancel the contract with this person and I'm going to buy it from the other one, the other company said, no, they are not accepting my contract if I will not do it with the other one. But you know, if it is here, you will backstab. That's why even in church, you see people serving you very close, but they are thinking on how to betray you. Elisha was committed to his master. In the journey of their life, he was loyal. For 20-something years, even when Elijah told him and said, would you stop following me? He said, sir, I will follow you to the end. Great people are loyal to the vision. Therefore, every one of you here, we are all participants in this life. We have come to play our role on a pilgrimage journey. You cannot excel in this life if you are not committed. You either commit yourself to mediocrity or you commit yourself to greatness. As for me, I have chosen and my family to commit myself to greatness. I don't know about you. That's why you hear Joshua said, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. You make up your mind today in Numbers chapter 13 verse 25. Numbers 13 verse 25, you see a set of people. They all had the opportunity to be great. But you realize that 10 of them decided to commit themselves to mediocrity. But 2 out of them, out of the 12, said, no, we are committed to greatness. The Bible testified to us that Joshua and Caleb became great, while the other 10, their lives were wasted like ordinary people. Commitment is the glue that binds you to your goals. Anytime they want to pull you away from your goal, commitment would get you stick to your goal. That's why Paul said, what shall separate me from the love of God? There is nothing, because I am glued to the cross. I am glued to the work that I'm doing. You can't take me from that work because of hunger. You can't take me away from that work because of pestilence. You can't take me away from that work because of gossipers and people that are criticizing. You can't take me away from this work because of persecution. You can't take me away from this work because of pain. I am glued and nothing shall separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Commitment is the foundation to every success. Every achievement in life, whether it is in the medical field, in the business world, it is the financial industry, it is in the spiritual things, it is commitment that makes you to accomplish great things. Commitment is the spirit that gives life to every pursuit in life. Galatians chapter 1 verse 4. Galatians chapter 1 verse 4. The Bible says, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. He gave himself. He was committed to the cause. He was tempted like all of us experienced. The enemy came to him and said, do you think you need to go through what you are thinking about? First of all, he used somebody that was very close to him. He used his family members. They came around him and they said, hey, would you stop these things you're doing? The Bible says at the point they said he was by himself. And he was never distracted. The next one was member of his council. Peter came around and said, God forbid, you cannot die at this particular moment. But he was focused. He was committed. He knew that without commitment, he would not accomplish his greatness. And he said, Satan, get behind me. I will not be distracted. And then the next thing was in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see the devil coming to him severally. Do you think you need to go through this thing? At a point, Jesus was feeling like, let the cup go. I don't need to drink it. Why do I have to go through this? But he came to himself because he's committed to it. to see that all of us are redeemed. And the Bible said to us, and he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. People that are committed to their work don't live for themselves. They live to be able to establish a name. And the Bible says that because of the sacrifice and commitment, he was committed to die. He was beaten, spitting on. Hey friends, the people that were spitting on him were people he created. He can just do like this. But he knows if that do not happen, he will not be given a name that is above every other name. You can never be great without a sacrifice. Greatness is not a cheap place. Succeeding in life business and life pursuit is not a cheap place. As I sat down last midnight, in the midnight, preparing this message together, in my thoughts and meditation, I was just imagining a woman that conceives. When they were having that sexual relationship with the husband, it was wonderful. But you realize that as the days go by, suddenly the reality begins to dawn. Some women cannot stand it, so they go to abort it. But the woman that holds it to the end, even to that last moment, when she's about to bring out that dream, she goes through such an excruciating pain. It's like life is going to snuff out of her. So many women at that moment, they pray the prayer they have never prayed. Committed to birthing something. You can't get things done without pains. If anybody tells you that you're just going to walk like that in life and without putting yourself under certain discipline, you will never fulfill destiny. You will never be great. He gave himself. Nobody's going to do it for you. God didn't do it for him. The Holy Spirit didn't do it for him. Angels didn't do it for him. He gave himself. You have to give yourself to time management. You have to give yourself to using and developing your talent. You have to give yourself. I have never been to the university. I don't have a degree to my credit. But of course, I've been honored by several universities around the world. But that did not stop me from developing myself. That did not stop me from educating myself to the point of several PhDs. I gave myself to come out of the norms in the north. I came out of the northeast where preachers get to a particular level and they are gone. They never go break that beyond that. Men of revelation, men of anointing, they have anointing. But excuse me, anointing can get you to a particular level. Without knowledge, you'll be stagnated. It takes a lot. Gave himself. You have to give yourself to learn the business world. Give yourself to learn finances. Give yourself to learn politics and policies. And the Bible said to us, to the last moment when he took the cross, there was every temptation for him to throw it away, but he was committed to the last moment. And God hung and crucified on the cross. And he took the pain. And he knew my moment of changing my class and my level has come. Formerly, I had only influence in a city of Jerusalem, Galilee, and Nazareth. But this time, I am going to become a world figure. I will have dominion all over the world. Having that dominion all over the world cost him pain. And when he paid the price, and he said, it is finished. And the Bible says, and God highly exalted him and giving him a name that is above every other name. Can you just imagine this? Jesus has never walked physically to Nigeria, but look at all of you following the man you have never seen. All of us, majority of us here, are willing to die. That's why people have died in the Northeast. They have been told, denounce Jesus. They said, why? Yesu, serve, but they have never seen him. Of a man that was committed to a vision. And that vision has brought the liberation of the world. And his name is above every other name. You go to Russia, Jesus. You go to America, Jesus. You go to the palaces, Jesus. You go everywhere, Jesus. There is a difference between interest and commitment. I will leave you with these words of wisdom. When you are interested in doing something, you do it only when it's convenient. But when you are committed to something, you accept no excuse. You only accept results. Interest in something, when it's convenient to love, you love. When it's not convenient to love, you don't love. When it's convenient to work, you work. When it's not convenient not to work, you don't work. But people that are committed, they don't take excuses. They are looking for results. Looking for results. I love these young men of David. They say, sir, don't worry. Even though it is dangerous to go close to the camp of our enemies, we will get you the water that you need. No excuse. Common thing you find in the mouth of so many people, the problem. This is problem. It cannot be turned. They give you excuse why this is not working. They give you reason why that is not. They give you reason why they cannot sell. They give you reason why they cannot buy. They give you reason why they didn't deliver on time. Excuse. But people that are committed, don't take excuse. You want result. You want to succeed in this life, you must be result oriented. The quality of a person's life is always direct, in direct proportion to their commitment. The Bible says to us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, Acts chapter 2 verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and doctrine and fellowship. That is commitment. That's why they had a qualitative life. They were doing what the apostles taught them. Friends, in the journey of this life, you cannot conquer what you're not committed to. You can't conquer what you are not committed to. Say it again. You cannot conquer what you are not committed to. Commitment is the little choices that you make every day. The little choices you make every minute concerning a project. The men of Nehemiah that worked with him, there were other elders, politicians, business guys. And everybody was complaining, nothing is going to happen, everywhere is dry. But Nehemiah came around with a different vision, a man that is committed. And early in the morning, Nehemiah will wake up, go and inspect the whole city. In the night where people were sleeping, Nehemiah was checking out, what will I do? And finally, Nehemiah was able to get a camp of men and women. The Bible testified to us, it took them several years, over 20 years, building that world before Nehemiah. Before that world collapsed again. But in the time of Nehemiah, he broke the record. Because they were committed. Nehemiah said that his men, with the clothes they wore, they never changed the clothes. With one hand they held a spear. With the other hand they were building. And in 40 days the wall was completed. It takes commitment. And therefore I bring you to grace. Can you flash the scriptures for me? Isaiah 56 and verse 6 to 7. Isaiah 56, verse 6 to 7. Also the sons of the stranger that joined themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and take a hold of my covenant. Verse 7 now. Even then, will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. You have no excuse. Even if you're a stranger, you can change your story. Even if you had no foundation, you can lay a foundation today. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain. Nobody that is successful anywhere is better than you are. You can change your own story. Stop sitting down to say, you know, I'm not a Jew. You know, I'm not a Hebrew. You know, I'm not that. God said you have no excuse. The room is open for anybody who is willing to work on himself. And I will bring you in and I will connect you with the blessing that is upon these same people that are enjoying the blessing. Stand on your feet and lift up your two hands to God. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. My lifetime,
oh, I will give God my lifetime.
If I give God my life. He will take care of me. He will never, never let me down. I will give God my lifetime. Let this prayer get into your spirit, friend. In the city of Jos in Nigeria or in Africa, or wherever you are in the world, you have no excuse to say, oh, it's because the whites are racial, or it's because of this, that's why I'm not excelling. You have no excuse. Because it doesn't matter how dark the environment is, God has anointed you with grace to excel anywhere. It takes your commitment to change your life to the work that you're working. There are many of us that are here. We have tremendous potential in our lives. But you must be committed to developing that treasure. Treasure in an earthen vessel. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. My lifetime, I will give God my lifetime. If I give God my lifetime, He will take care of me. He will never, never let me down. I will give God my lifetime.
You can't be a 12-year-old boy, girl. You can't be a 10-year-old and be playing around with your life when other 10-year-olds are breaking history. You can't be wasting your life as a 9-year-old child just playing around and not building yourself, when other little children are changing the history of their lives. When you are committed to a cause, you cannot be frustrated. There is no room for depression. Men that are committed to their work don't work for the money, but they work to be able to establish a legacy and a skill, because they know that riches and wealth will follow them. Student, nobody is going to tell you when you're committed to your study. You will have more than 5 textbooks. You making research.
Yes, you are a graduate. Yes, you have come out of the university. But that does not stop you from improving on the disciplines that you've been taught in the school. Why should a 78-year-old woman or 80-something-year-old woman be reading and studying? And you are here already, you have retired. Get committed to a cause. Refuse to commit yourself to mediocrity. Refuse to commit yourself to an average life. You are wired for greatness. I wrote a book many, many years ago, The Seed of Greatness in Everyone. There is a seed of greatness inside of you. Allow yourself to be polished. That's why God allowed coronavirus to shut down church, religious activity, so that you can understand that life is not about the multitude, it's about the personal race. You know, formerly we used to exercise ourselves based on number. But it's not about number. It's about the person. It's about the person. That's what people that are committed don't need supervisors. People that are committed to their job, committed to school, committed to their business, they don't need supervision. They will deliver what you desire. People who are committed can never be retrenched. They are not a liability, they are an asset. Even when you get to your retirement age, you know what they will tell you? We will walk around the law to make sure that you stay. I have a brother. He got to the peak of his job and career in the medical field. And he retired. So the CMD of the University of Maiduguri Teaching Hospital spoke with him and his boss, and they said, we will create another window because we still need you around. Because he's committed to it. And he's very good at his job. He treats, sometimes when you see people, he's treating people, sometimes you just be amazed. What people are charging thousands and thousands of hundreds of thousands. My brother can just come collect some peanuts. He just wants to see people live healthy. He will operate people, receive delivery, and sometimes he will say, go home. I am praying over everybody here. If unbelievers can excel, you can do better. Father, I thank you today. You are such a faithful God, preparing us for the second phase of the year 2020. I pray over every man. You know my heart desire, if Lord, I can just move in there and just change the whole system. You know my heart desire for everyone here, Father God Almighty, to turn this land to become the land that visitors will be begging to come to. I pray over everyone here listening to the sound of my voice. Every strange garment of laziness, strange garment of excuses, I strip you of that garment in the name of Jesus. I pray God's hand. I pray God's grace. I pray the Spirit of the Lord. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of all of us. That is the same grace that is inside of me that every day is helping me to grow from glory to glory. I pray that this year you will do what you have never done before. Receive the energy to rise in faith, to conquer your world. I'm going to allow you for 2 minutes, just you, not everybody. You will raise your voice more than anybody else and pray in the Holy Ghost. Lord, I receive the Spirit. I receive this unusual grace.
time. I will give God my lifetime. Oh, my lifetime. I will give God my lifetime. As I give God my lifetime.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Be silent everywhere you are and bow your heads in 2 minutes and just think. There is no room for fearful people. There is no room for mediocres. The Holy Spirit himself does not work with people that are committed to an average life. One thing I do, forgetting the past, pressing towards the mark, I am committed to excellence. That's why Paul could speak to his disciple, study to show yourself, study commitment, approve a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Everything in life takes commitment to succeed in it. Not wishes, not desires. In the midst of 4 people you find given an opportunity, only 1 person makes it. But you have the same blood, brain, you have. Bone is the same bone. Environment is the same environment. Why should they be better than you? You are the salt. But if a salt does not know its value, it loses. And people will trample on it. You are the light. It doesn't matter whether you're a servant. It doesn't matter whether you're a messenger, a security man, or a director, or a manager, or professor, whatever you are. If slaves like Joseph could prosper in an environment that does not give room for slaves to prosper, is it you that will not prosper in a free land? If Esther could beat other contestants, what about you? What about you? If Ruth could come out of a very dysfunctional foundation, very bad foundation that had no future for them, if she could change her status, and today she to turning her life around to become a mother of generations, what about you? You have no excuse. They were all committed to change their story. Fathers, your children go home. I pray 5 prayer of blessings upon everybody here. Number 1, make every one of them great. Number 2, Father, make them a success. Number 3, make them overcomers. Number 4, let them shine in the midst of darkness. Number 5, Father, give them power to have dominion. go
in this might and turn the world around you to the glory of the Lord. Go ahead and give the Lord a louder celebration of praise. And therefore we decree and declare, God is